No matter where you are, it's Texas Standard Time on this first day. Texans are casting ballots in the 2020 election season. Early voting gets underway today, running through the 28th. If you miss out on that window and want to vote in the primaries, you have one more chance on Super Tuesday, March 3rd, when about a third of all the delegates will be up for grabs. I do believe there will be more on early voting a bit later in the broadcast. Later today, Democrats take to the stage to debate in the race to challenge incumbent Republican Senator John Cornyn. Many of these stations will be broadcasting that live. Pregame setup starts at 6:20 Central statewide. Let me share with you a paragraph penned by Rick Jervis of USA Today, published a few hours ago, quoting here, "Texas, long a reliably Republican state and historically neglected by Democratic presidential candidates, suddenly finds itself in unfamiliar territory, a relevant and courted state in the middle of a heated Democratic presidential primary season," close quote. Michael Bloomberg, the former New York mayor who skipped out of much of the preamble to this contest, is betting big on Texas with a huge campaign staff and massive ad purchases. You may recall before the Iowa caucuses, former Vice President Joe Biden joined us to talk about issues facing Texas voters. We've reached out to all the Democratic presidential candidates, and today it's Tom Steyer's turn, the California billionaire who's branding himself as an outsider. Mr. Steyer, welcome to the Texas Standard.
David, thank you so much for having me.
You've said there are only two major issues in this election. One of them is climate change. And as you're aware, Texas is number one in wind energy right now. But when it comes to what powers the Lone Star State's economy, you know, that doesn't come close to paying the bills like carbon-based energy does. If you want to win Democrats in Texas, how do you make the pitch for radical change?
Well, we're going to have to rebuild the whole country, David. And that's going to mean enormous job creation everywhere. If we're going to actually move to clean energy, we're going to also have to rebuild affordable housing around this country. We're going to have to create public transportation. There is an enormous job ahead of us. It's going to create over 4.5 million good-paying union jobs across the country.
I hear you saying that, but as you're aware, Texas has not been a union state traditionally. And notwithstanding the creation of new jobs, there are going to be severe dislocations to workers in the oil industry and all the associated industries up and down, no?
Well, let me say this. Part of our climate plan involves holding workers in industries that could decline or will decline harmless so that we will guarantee their wages, their health care, and their retirement. The last thing we want to do is solve the climate problem on the backs of American working people. And we've put the money aside in our plan, $50 billion. That's not to say that the dislocation for specific workers isn't real. We will make sure that they're at the front of the line to get the new jobs that definitely will be there, including specifically in Texas.
We've been talking to some of the other challengers in the race, among them Joe Biden, and I asked him about mandatory gun buybacks, because it's obviously an issue on the minds of a lot of folks here in Texas. You're aware of the shootings in El Paso and in Midland, Odessa. What would a Tom Steyer administration do when it comes to the question of mandatory gun buybacks?
I'm not in favor of mandatory gun buybacks. I am in favor of reducing gun violence across our country. The Second Amendment is a right of Americans, but it is not the only right of Americans. So, in fact, when I talk about gun violence, I'm talking about background checks for people buying guns that I think everybody in America, including members of the NRA, agree with. I'm talking about licensing gun owners just the way we license car owners and registering ARs. And, in fact, people should know, I raise cattle, chicken, and pigs about an hour and 15 minutes south of San Francisco in California. And our ranch provides free gun safety courses for anybody in the neighborhood who wants to be a safe gun owner and get a hunting license. Like all rights of Americans, it comes into conflict sometimes with other rights. So, for instance, you have a right to free speech, but not the right to yell fire in a crowded theater.
We have such a short amount of time and so much ground to cover, but I want to touch on some of the things that you've been making news for. And I have to mention, there was a gotcha question that someone in Nevada threw you the other day. You probably know the one. Had to do with, do you know the Mexican president's name? And you said it, you had forgotten it. And you know, I think a lot of people feel like something you can Google is not really fair. But I think it is fair to ask, how would your approach to the Mexican administration change? I mean, by Mr. Trump's own measure, his pressure on the Mexican president has resulted in the military closing its southern border to parades of migrants from Central America. Would you want to alter your position with respect to AMLO, Andrés Manuel López Obrador?
Well, let me say this, David. I did forget his name. I also described exactly his background and his party.
Right.
So I knew exactly who I was talking about. I forget. I came out of that and I thought, oh, my gosh, I forget so many names all the time. If it's a question about remembering names, then I really am in trouble.
No, I totally hear you. So, I totally understand. But the substantive question.
That was funny. But the substantive question is this. Mr. Trump has a foreign policy that involves confrontation and escalation. That's what he's done across the board everywhere. And that's what he's done with Mexico. That is not the policy that I believe is best for the United States of America. I think that for us to succeed, to make our country more prosperous and safer across the board, what we should be doing is working with other countries and negotiating really hard for Americans, but understanding that long term, it's better for us if Mexico and America succeed together. So if you look at what President Obama did in working with our allies to pressure Iran to give up its nuclear ambitions, that was us taking a value-driven lead, putting together a coalition and working to get a regime that is antithetical to us in so many ways to do something that made us safer and made the world safer.
You know what? I thought you were going to say, I thought you were going to refer to President Obama's approach when it came to the deportations of people who were here undocumented, because there was, I believe, something like 3 million people deported over that period while he was in office.
Look, I have a different attitude about immigration. I believe Mr. Trump is dealing with immigration on a racist basis. And I believe that he has been breaking international law and breaking the laws of humanity in the way that he's treated people coming here seeking asylum. And so I would end that on day one. I believe that we should be a value-driven country, which is what we've always been. That's what the United States is supposed to be. Lead the world in freedom, justice, and equality.
You said undocumented workers are an open secret. What would you do about them as president?
Well, let me put it to you this way, David. There are 12 million people here who've been here an average of 15 years. Everybody in the United States knows it. They pay taxes. Their kids go to school. I would give them the legal status, and I would do what Ronald Reagan did, which is do comprehensive immigration reform and give them a path to citizenship as soon as possible.
Texas has the largest number of uninsured people in the nation. What would President Steyer do about that, and would you have the support of Congress?
First of all, I believe that affordable health care is a right for every American, literally. And I believe that we pay way too much for it. I believe the government has dramatically fallen down on the job in terms of fighting back against these corporations who are basically ripping us off. About a quarter of the uninsured in Texas are kids. So given what I think, I am someone who believes that we should have a public option as part of the Affordable Care Act, that anybody can join Medicare, and that we should use the government's negotiating power across all its areas of buying to take on these corporations and drive down those costs, because it's eating people alive. The reason that I'm not for Medicare for all is this: 160 million Americans get their health care through their employment. My goal is to make the public option as part of the Affordable Care Act so cheap and so good that everybody who's got their health care through their employer goes to their employer and says, give me the money, I'll buy the public option and I'll get a raise. But my belief is, hey, it's their choice. And honestly, I think that there's a huge question about how much Medicare for All is going to cost.
You know a lot about the bottom line, clearly. I mean, as a former hedge fund manager and that sort of thing, I mention that because you've said that you're on a mission to reduce the influence of the powerful and well-connected. Are you yourself what regular folks would consider part of the powerful and well-connected? And if not, how do you convince them that you're on their side?
You know, David, I did start a business on my own. I never inherited a penny from my parents. I started a business. I built it up over 27 years into a multi-billion dollar international business. And I walked away from it and took a pledge to give most of my money to charities while I'm alive. But let me say this. For the last 10 years, I have been organizing coalitions of ordinary American citizens to take on unchecked corporate power, to take on the corporations who bought our government. And I've never lost. So, you know, if you really think that the government in Washington, D.C. has been bought by corporations, which I really think, and you really think that we're not going to get any of the things that Americans want, like affordable health care and quality public education and a living wage, clean air and clean water. If you don't think we're getting any of that stuff until we break the corporate stranglehold on our government, then you got to ask, who actually will get that done? My argument is the energy always comes from the grassroots. The energy always comes from the outside. You know, that's why I'm someone who's for term limit. Congress is not a lifetime appointment, 12 years for Congress people and senators. Let's get a wiggle on. Let's put new and different people in charge and make some changes.
Tom Steyer wants to make some changes. He is one of the Democrats who's running for president of the United States, and his name is going to be on the ballot here in Texas on Super Tuesday come March 3rd. If you registered to vote, of course, early voting gets underway today. Tom Steyer, thanks so much for taking time to speak with us on the Texas Standard.
David Brown, it's a treat to be with you.